the opportunity to sing his praises a little bit first, too. This morning we have John Smith to minister to us this morning, and there are many of you who really enjoy John, as I do. I'm looking forward to his ministry this morning. John's been faithful for many years. My Bible says that God rewards faithfulness. And so I want to introduce to you a man of great reward, for he's been greatly faithful. John, come and minister the word to us this morning, would you?
Bless you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. God is a good God. Can you say that? God is a good God? All the time? To me. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we hear things and that people say, other people say, and we think, well, you know, they can say that because of their situation. You know, maybe they just got a raise at work. Maybe they just got some other great blessing in their life. And we can think, they're happy just because of that thing that happened to them. But when you think about the goodness of God, and you think about how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, we should be the happiest people in the world. We should be the people that are just looking for opportunities to praise God and glorify his name and exalt him, because he's the Almighty God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes. One thing that you can bank on is this. You can't always trust the banks. But one thing you can bank on today is that God will never fail you. He'll never disappoint you. He will never bring you to or call you to do something that he's not going to give you the ability to do. My father always used to say to me, John, you need to remember this for the rest of your life. God will never call you to do something that he won't give you the ability to do, because he's the God of all ability. God has no lack. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. And God desires that every blessing of God would come to you in great measure. God wants you to be blessed coming in. How many of you know you've come home? When you come into the house of God, you come home. You're blessed coming in, and hopefully today you'll be blessed more going out because of the word. But God wants to bless everything that you set your hand to. You know, God said to the children of Israel, and he gave them 14 verses where he talked about all the blessings that were going to come upon them. And he said in that scripture that all the blessings of God are going to overtake you. That's really when the blessings are in the place where God wants them to be, when they're overtaking you, when you're not even expecting that it's coming, but it comes. Praise God. You don't know where it came from, but it came. Hallelujah. Just in time. Praise God. God wants you and I to be men and women of faith that recognize if we will dare to believe, if we will dare to put our trust in God, if we will dare to put him to the test, he will always honor his word, because we know this principle concerning God. God will always honor his word, even above his name. And we know that there's nothing above him. He is our all in all. He is the great sufficient God. Hallelujah, who desires to bless us abundantly in our lives. Amen. And so this morning, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be able to share the word of God with you today. I had a little bit more time to prepare Regina than you did. And so I didn't have quite the same thing to go through as far as time goes. Do you know what? I was listening to a man talk, and he said, you know what? Time is something that we're so aware of. We live by the watch. We live by the schedules that we set. We live by the expectations of the world around us. And time is so important. We have to be on schedule. We have to be on time. because really it shows our character. It shows who we are if we're people that keep our word. And the man was speaking and he said, you need to recognize time doesn't mean the same thing to God than it means to us, because he's eternal. He created time. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. He created us. He created this planet that we live on. He is the one who has given us his holy word. And he said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Hallelujah. Why? Why is that so powerful? Because God has put you in this place for today to do what he has called you to do. Our need in our lives is to discover what it is God wants us to do and then do it with all our might. Amen. Do it with his strength, do it with his power, not just in the arm of the flesh. The arm of the flesh will fail, but we know that the Spirit of Almighty God will never fail, and the supernatural power of God will always be there for us, so that whatever we put our hand to, we're not just doing it in our own strength, but we're doing it in the power of God. Hallelujah. And God has promised that great blessing will abound to our account. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, I'm so honored to be here today, Pastor. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share the word of God. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a God of love, that you're a God of power and ability. And we thank you, Lord, that you have a desire for every one of us, Lord God, to enter into a place of relationship with you, where we would be so conscious of your presence, we would be so aware of your presence, that we would not let anything hinder, we would not let anything intimidate, we would not let anything hold us back. But God, we would dare to believe your word. You said, Father, in your scriptures, that if we can dare to believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And so, God, we declare that we're believers today. We declare, Lord God, that we have faith and confidence and trust in you. And, Father, we put action to our faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you hasten to perform your word in our lives. And, Lord, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name for what you will do in our midst. In these minutes that are ahead, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. One time a guy was getting ready to preach, and the little boy was asked, when he looked at his watch like I just did, what does that mean? And the little boy said, nothing. But hopefully it'll mean something today. And we get the word accomplished and get the word delivered to you. I am a person who loves God, loves the word, loves to share the word. And my greatest challenge in life is to stay on track. And so I'm going to do my best to stay on track and stay focused with what God has given me, so that you will not have to figure out where that trail is leading, but we'll try and keep it all focused and in the place where I believe God wants it to be, and share God's word. I want to talk to you today about something that has been become very real in my heart and life, and it's the spoken blessing. In the scriptures, God gives us many, many principles and many, many scriptures that help us to see the importance of speaking good words over our children. And I have set it in my heart to make this a practice of my life for the rest of my life, that at every opportunity I'm going to bless my children. I'm going to speak blessing over them. Amen. Every time I get a chance, I'm going to lay my hands on them and tell them, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the power of Almighty God right now. Thank you, Lord. And I believe it, the significance of it is not only is it important for me as a father to bless my children, it's necessary for my children to know that I love them enough to say, be blessed. And it's just not idle words. It's my faith reaching out to them. It's my faith connecting with them. It's me standing on what the Word of God says, believing that what God said in His Word will come to pass in my children. Hallelujah. And so as time goes along, not only do you have your own children, but I have a daughter-in-law. Every time I have an opportunity, I want to speak blessing into Kim's life. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's important. Not just important for me, it's important for her. Hallelujah. Now we have 4 grandchildren. Every time I'm able to hold on to one of those little grandchildren, as they get bigger, they're harder to hold on to and catch up to maybe. But every chance, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to bless them. I'm going to say, be blessed in the name of the Lord. Because it's becoming something in my heart and in my life that is so important and so necessary. It's important for me and it's important for them. Hallelujah. And that extends into the body of Christ. Because the Bible says we're all connected in God. We're brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. And so as you reach out and you speak blessing over people, and you think the best of people, and you give God the opportunity to demonstrate His best in their lives, even when the picture doesn't look right. I got one of those fancy iPhones that's supposed to take a better picture than what my old BlackBerry did. And sometimes I think the old BlackBerry took better pictures than my iPhone does. Now I know that's all me and the person that's using it and learning how to use it. Do you know what? So many times we limit God and we hold back the blessing of God simply because we're not saying what God says for us to say. So I want to read some scriptures to you, and I'd like to start by turning to Psalm 128. And I want to read just the first 3 verses. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied in every is everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in His ways and lives according to His commandments. For you shall eat the fruit of your labor, the labor of your hands. Happy, blessed, and fortunate, enviable shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. Now that's interesting. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. In our home, the fruit was 2 children. Susan said to me, this is all I'm doing for you, John. This is it, 2. My son has doubled me, double. So, let's pray for him. Amen. Praise God. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children shall be like olive plants round about your table. When you think about how much God loves you and me and how much God loves our children, don't you think it's important that we love them the same way that God loves them? That we say the same words to them that God said to us as His children. Praise God. Because really, we are children of the Most High God. And so I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about everyone in this room. I'm talking to everyone that is going to hear this now or in the future. That God wants you to be blessed in everything that you do. Praise God. And so that last part of Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children, this is another verse. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Your children are a reward. Johnny's not just a little terror. You have to be able to look at Johnny like a reward. My mom and dad, when they got me, they got an original. I'm not like anyone of my family. I am an original. I got my quirks. I got my problems. I got my personality. I got my way of expressing myself. But I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
If you think I look bad now, think how bad it could be if God wouldn't have got a hold of me. But he's still working on me. He's not finished with me. He still wants to bless me. He still wants to use me for his honor and glory. He still wants me to have an opportunity to speak blessing into the lives of other people. Praise God. King David was shown that his covenant children would sit upon the throne forever. You know, I said when I started, God is not confined to time. He's eternal. And he has given us the word of God so that we can discover how small we are and how big he is. He wants us to see that it might be impossible with us, what we're facing and what we're called to do, but not with him. Because God is a God who calls things that be not as though they were. God speaks things into existence. God speaks the word, and what he says happens. Jesus had such a confidence with his Father that he could simply speak the words. And one time he said, "Father, it's not that I don't believe you're going to do this, but for the people round about here that are listening to me, perform this miracle so that they will know how great and how awesome and how powerful you are, praise God, right in the midst, and that you're desiring to bless them." You know, when the little boy brought his, see, I'm starting to divert right now here, but I'll try and get back quick. The little boy, when he brought his loaves and fishes, do you know what the great need was? People like Bill and me that might have been there were getting hungry. And you know what? They forgot to bring their lunch. They forgot to prepare for the mealtime. But the little boy came prepared. He came with his bag lunch. He came with his fish and his loaves of bread. Hallelujah. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? You know, fresh fish. Maybe his fish weren't fresh. Maybe they were salted, pickled, whatever. But Jesus said to the disciples, he said, listen up. You need to solve the problem. These people need some food. So how did he do it? He started by organizing the group. That's what your leadership's called to do. Bring things into order. Organize things. He put people in companies of 50, hundreds, whatever. And then he said to the disciples, he said, "Bring the food to me." He blessed it. God multiplied it. As he began to break the bread and as he began to fill the baskets and they began to take it around to the people, everybody was satisfied. Everybody was filled. And then they brought back to that little boy a reward of his diligence to be faithful and to be prepared. Can I say to you today, if you will be prepared to let God use you, he will always bring somebody into your life. He'll always bring somebody around you that you can help and you can rescue and you can speak a good word into their life and even bless them. Yeah. Amen. I heard a, just go figure, I was in a lawyer's office not too long ago. And in the course of the conversation, just chit-chatting, I found out from somebody that was there, the lawyer wasn't in there at the moment, but the word was said. I just felt that I needed to bless my lawyer. And I just asked her, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." He prayed for her. You know what the lady said? She said, "You're the first person that's asked if they can pray for me and bless me in years." Do you think people want blessing? Do you think people want to be connected? Do you think people want the Jesus that you have? Do you think that if you will dare to do what Brother Ted Uke said and grab a hold of the cause and stand up for Christ and love him and honor him and make yourself available to God, don't you think God is going to bring people across your path just at the right time? But you got to be bold. Dare to believe. Dare to believe that God will use you. Dare to believe that God is going to touch you. And so we know that King David was aware of God's plan and God's desire for him. Was David a perfect man? No. That gives hope to us all. In spite of the mistakes that David made, he never lost sight of what God had called him to do and be in the earth. He recognized the importance of what God had said, and he recognized that through him, a righteous seed was going to come, that his children were going to carry that righteous seed up until Christ. Hallelujah. He was looking, he was reaching towards, he was laying hold of the promise of God, and he was thankful to God that he was part of the plan of God. Amen. You and I are part of the plan of God. You and I are necessary for the kingdom of God to be advanced, because God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to let his word be manifest. Hallelujah. If you will say what God tells you to say, you're going to have what God says you can have. If you can believe. Amen. You just need to believe. You just need to stand upon the word and allow that word of God to come forth. And so that promise of blessing from God was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ and continues to be realized in the lives of many children today. Satan sees covenant children as the greatest threat to his plans. He does not want children to come under the covenant blessings of God. You know why? Because he doesn't want any competition. He doesn't want anybody speaking for Christ. He doesn't want anybody talking for Christ. Amen. It's been well said that if you're the kind of person that, you know, on election day, you know, we have a city election, or we have a provincial election, or we have a federal election, say, I don't believe in any of those guys, I'm not going to vote for anybody. You know what you just did? You let just anybody win. And guess what? You have no right to talk about those anybodies, because you did not have enough intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, I want to let my vote count. When you hear somebody cussing Christ, using the name of the Lord in vain, you just stand there and let them do it? Or did you stand up and you say, excuse me, I noticed that your vocabulary needs some adjusting, especially the attitude that is coming forth in right now. You dare to believe? I met a prophet of God one time for the first time out in Toronto at the York Hotel. And when I saw him, if you think I'm bashful and shy now, I was a disgrace then. I was really timid. I was really shy. We're down in the lobby and we're going up to the elevator, going to get into the elevator. And here's a bunch of young adults, you know, from probably 22 to 25, 26, I don't know, somewhere in there, carrying open liquor bottles in their hands. And this prophet that I was with proceeded to chastise them right there. And immediately I thought, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. There's more with them than be with us. I was like Gehazi's servant. There's more with them than be with us. But he was standing up on a principle. He was standing up for the truth. He was standing up for righteousness. He was not moved by what he saw, the numbers of them. The only thing that he moved them was what they were doing in a public place. And he said, listen, if you don't seal up that liquor right now, I'm going to call the authorities on you. You have no right to have that in my presence. You know what they started doing? Screwing the lids back on. I thought, oh God, you saved us. You know really what God did? God taught me a lesson. That if you'll stand up for God, if you will take your place. Do you know why we don't have place in society? Because we don't take it. You know why we don't have impact in society? Because we don't choose to speak out and stand for what we believe. You know why politicians are calling out to the wrong crowd to try and get spiritual answers to their problems? Because the men and women of God aren't standing up as they should. Thank God in Canada, we have a group of people standing up in Ottawa, that's right, in the National House of Prayer. And God has called many people to gather together and to stand for righteousness and truth. You see, if we don't stand for what's right, our no vote is just like saying to whatever happens, I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. And you know the way the government looks at it? The government looks at it, if you don't send a letter, if you don't say anything, they just assume you're totally happy with everything that's going on. God has always called leaders not to be just happy and satisfied with the status quo. But God has called us to reach out and to change things for his honor and glory. And so you can see that the devil tried to destroy children. I'll give just a couple examples. It can be seen in his effects to destroy men like Moses and Jesus during their infancy. If Satan had succeeded in destroying them, he would have blocked God's plan for man's redemption. But thank God for mothers. Thank God for people that dare to believe and stand on the promises of God. Amen. Moses' mother had faith that as she looked at him, she saw that he was a needful, precious child. And she could see that God had need of that child to further his kingdom on earth. Praise God. And so his life was spared. Can you imagine the goodness of God? Moses was seen by Pharaoh's daughter as he was riding around in his little boat. She looked at him, and immediately her heart you know, mothers have hearts like that. That's the kind of heart my mom did. You know, she loved us, even if we were not lovable. Even when we did bad things, she still loved us. Yeah. Praise God. Wouldn't let us keep doing the bad things, but she loved us. Hallelujah. Moses was spared. Pharaoh's daughter took him and said, he's going to become my son. Moses' sister said, you know what? I can find one of the Hebrew ladies that could take care of him until you get the baby room prepared. You know, and get all the baby stuff in there. You know, you want to paint it. You want to do all the, I don't know what they did back in those days, but you want to make the place and you want to prepare the place. I'll find a Hebrew woman to look after him. Took Moses back to his own mother. And she looked after him. She began to speak blessing into his life. She began to speak the word of God into his life. She began to prepare him for the days that were ahead. And by the time Moses came to live in Pharaoh's house with Pharaoh's daughter, He already had enough of the truth of God on the inside of him that even through all of his life and all of his education and all of his training and everything that God had prepared for him to prepare him for what lay ahead for him, in all of that, there came a point where he made a decision to forsake the pleasures of sin for a season, because he knew his eternal destiny was not to be in that place of sin, but he knew God had called him to do something far greater than just exist in a place where he could have all the comforts of life and have everything that life had to afford. He recognized there was something more. Moses made mistakes. Moses failed. But you know what? There came a time where Moses had an experience with God at a burning bush. And he went up to that burning bush and he had an encounter with God. And God told him what he wanted him to do. I want you to be my deliverer. I want you to deliver my people, Israel, praise God. And he laid hold of that. You know what? It took a period of time. It didn't happen instantaneously. You know the problem that we have? We want everything to happen just instant. Some people, when they get desperate, they'll even drink instant coffee. Do you know there's no comparison between instant coffee and fresh brewed? It's like when you go into the coffee shop and you can't read the numbers on the side of the coffee pot anymore. That's probably not the pot you want them to pour from. Right? Moving right along. Jesus, knowing that eternal redemption rested in him, he knew it. Satan knew that. It prompted Satan to get Herod to slay all the male children under 2 years of age. Matthew 2:16. What if he had succeeded in cutting off these two children? The redemption of mankind would have been aborted. Failing to impart to children the blessings of God helps to assure Satan that he can foil God's plan for them. You know why he believes in abortion? Because he's killing life before it starts. You know why he's called the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Because he wants to stop you. He wants to stop me. He wants to hinder us. He's the author of sickness and disease, not God. Jesus came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. And so the Lord has something special that he wants to accomplish through children. He has placed them in the care and nurture of parents to train them on the fulfillment of God's purpose in their lives. As parents, we must discover and speak God's blessing over our children. Amen. Sometimes what you think is not always what is. Sometimes you have to prophesy what you desire, what the word says. Just think about the children that go astray and wander off from God, and they go out into the world pursuing their own life. And you hear stories about the praying mother that prayed and the people of God that prayed. And then you hear the testimony of how they finally came back to a saving knowledge of Christ. Amen. And received that forgiveness, reconnected with God, and began to reach out to God and believe God that as they discovered the things that he had in store for him, the plan that he had for them, they finally found a reason to live. When you recognize what that personal gift and call is in your child, you want to do everything that you can to help develop that. Praise God. That's one of the things about the church that's so powerful. This is a wonderful, safe place where our children and where us as bigger children can learn how to do what God would have us to do in a place where there's no fear, there is nothing to hinder us, because we know even if we fall down, somebody's going to pick us up. We're not going to get thrown away, but somebody's going to love on us, and somebody's going to believe with us that all good things can happen in our lives. Praise God. I really believe that good things can come if we will just stand upon the Word of God and let that Word of God speak to us and flow through us the way He desires. So children are a sign of the covenant. God's covenant blessings spoken over His people included the promise of offspring. Genesis 1:28. God said to Adam and Eve, He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth." And so we see in this first scripture the evidence that God's blessing was intended to bring forth new life, encouraging growth and rulership among His people. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. He told them to do it. He said, "You take charge, you take dominion, you subdue the earth, you take your place of authority." We know they failed. We know they missed it. We know that the devil got in there and he caused them to disobey God and fall away from the plan that God had for His people. But the scriptures talk about how the seed of the woman was going to bruise the serpent's head. God began to show His plan of salvation even in the Garden of Eden. He talked about the seed of the woman and how it was going to bruise the serpent's head. And so as you think about the blessing of God and you think about how God desires to bring forth new life, encourage growth and rulership among His people, He wants, in other words, He wants you and I to not be satisfied with what we are now. He wants us to know there's more. Amen. He wants us to press forward. He wants us to run our race. He wants us to lay hold of the promises of God. He wants us not to be held back in any way. But when He puts that dream in your heart, when He gives you that witty idea of what you can do in business, He speaks into your heart what can be and what you can do. Your part is simply to grab a hold of what God has said and say, "God, I see what You're saying. I stand upon Your word, and I believe that You're going to reveal to me and You're going to show me everything that I need to do to get into that place where Your blessing can flow into my life." Noah and his sons received the same blessing from God following the flood. In Genesis 9:1, it says, "And God pronounced a blessing upon Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" In verse number 8 of that same chapter, it says, "Then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, 'Behold, I will establish my covenant or pledge with you and with your descendants after you.'" And so we see that in the life of Noah and his sons after the flood, God reestablished His covenant in the earth. The earth and all the inhabitants of the earth were destroyed in the flood because they refused to turn from their wicked ways. They refused to listen to what the preacher said. They refused to listen to what the prophet Noah said. And because they refused to listen to what God said, judgment had to come upon them. But every time I see the rainbow, amen. When you see the rainbow, God said, every time that you see that, know that I'm never again going to destroy the whole earth with a flood. You know why God wants you and I to be confident? Because He wants you and I to know that we're here for a reason, we're here for a purpose, We are here to demonstrate the greatness of God and to declare the glory of God, to preach the truth of the Word of God, to give every person an opportunity to hear about how good God is. Amen. God is good. His blessings are new every morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bible says that we shouldn't go to bed angry. Right? You know why God doesn't want you to be angry? Because he wants you to have a good sleep. And he wants you to be able to get up the next morning and rejoice. Amen. Look out, world, here I come. This is a new day. This is a new opportunity. This is a new privilege that God has given me to reach out and touch somebody and help somebody and bless somebody and speak a word of God to them that would cause them to get excited. Amen. You know what? God's a lot more excited about us than we are about him. But he loves to hear us say once in a while, praise God. God's covenant blessing spoken to Abraham began to express the redemptive nature of the covenant which he was establishing. Genesis 17:2. Verse 1 of that chapter says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and live perfect. Blameless, wholehearted, complete. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant, solemn pledge between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. It's interesting that God's plan of perpetuating his covenant through children was first introduced to Abraham. Abraham's faith in God's promises rested on the confidence that his own child was an integral part of God's plan. Amen. I thank God that my parents believed that I was an integral part of God's plan. Amen. They believed. They had faith. My mom, when she knew another one was coming, another child was coming into the Smith household, she immediately began to pray and believe God's best for that child. By the time I came along, number 8 in the succession of 9, I think she was a pretty good prayer. Now, I'm not saying that in a proudful way. She'd had lots of opportunity to practice her faith. Amen. You know why? Because God honored her word. My mom came from the Baptist faith. And one thing that you know about our dear Baptist friends is they have a great confidence in God's ability to save. They have a great ability to believe that God is a God who wants to make all things new. He wants the past of our life to be the past. Amen. God wants us to live in the now with him because he's a God of the now. Faith is now because God is now. Because God is now and because our faith is now, that means that we can have confidence that when we say what God says, we will have what that word of God says we have. Praise God. And from the moment that you pray, you need to begin thanking God that what you prayed is reality and truth. And act like it's true. Amen. I'm really overcoming the temptation to go rabbit trailing here. Abraham had faith in God's promise. Isaac was his covenant child. The Abrahamic promise included the promise of offspring and the promise of blessing for Abraham. Let's turn to Genesis 22. I've been reading out of the Amplified Bible. Verses 1 through 18. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read part of it. Verse 1 says, after these events, God tested and proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Verse 5, and Moses said to his servants, settle down and stay here with the donkey, and I and the young man will go up yonder and will worship and come again to you. Isn't it interesting to see and to hear the words that Abraham said? He came to that place that God had led him to come to, where he was asked to sacrifice his son, and he made a very powerful statement. He said, my son and I, the young lad and I, are going to go up on the mountain, we are going to worship God, and we're coming back to you. We are coming back to you. We are coming back to you. That's faith. You know why he had that faith? He had that faith because of the promise. Now, the footnotes in my Bible, they say something interesting. Abraham was not lying to his servant or trying to deceive them. He believed God, who had promised that this young man's posterity was to inherit the promises made to Abraham. He believed that the promises that God made to him were not just for him, they were for his son. He knew that the blessing of God was not just for him, but it was for him to pass on to his son, who could then pass it on to his son, who could then pass it on to his son. Praise God. See, God is not holding back from any of us. God is trying to get to us every blessing of God. Amen. He does not want any one of us to go without. He doesn't want any one of us to suffer loss. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. That should make you shout. He loves us all the same. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of what we've done. It's not because of who our mom and dad are. Amen, brother. What counts is what God says about us and what God has promised, and us being willing to grab a hold of that promise and live in the reality of it. Hallelujah. How long does it take faith to turn to sight? It could happen in a moment. It could happen in an instant. It might take a period of days or weeks or months or years. But with God, it's nothing. God's able to see the end from the beginning. He sees your end. The important thing is how you end. Amen? The important thing is not what you've gone through. The important thing is not the struggles and the problems and the difficulty. The important thing is you were that person in the middle of the arena that was willing to get up out of the dust and the ashes and stand up and say, I've been knocked down, I've been held down, I've been knocked over, but I'm not staying down here. I'm going to get up and I'm going to proclaim something. Amen. I'm not going to stay in that place of limitation. Praise God. God wants to take the limits off of you. God wants to bless you abundantly. When I went to school, I wasn't the smartest brick in the wall, so to speak. I wasn't the A student, although in grade 12 I was in math. Isn't that interesting? I liked my teacher, and my teacher liked me, because I could come up with the answers quicker than some of the other students. My brother, Wayne, had a great ability to do trigonometry, or what do you call that? What do you call it? Anyways, that stuff. You know, in the back of the in the math text, they'd have all of these numbers and solutions and ways of doing things that you're supposed to go through a certain sequence. And you would start at a certain point, and you go through all these steps, and at the end, you'd come up with the answer. And he had the ability to look at the question and just say, the answer is this, and tell them the right answer. And the teacher said, no, it's wrong. You gave me the wrong answer. If you can't show me how you got that answer, you have the wrong answer. Aren't you glad that God's not that way? Aren't you glad that God loves you enough to give you his word and say, if you will dare to believe what I say about you, you can have what I say you have? Amen. That you can be the person that I want you to be? That you can do the things that I want you to do? That you can go where I want you to go and plunder hell? Yes. And enjoy the journey? And be thankful to God that you had the opportunity to be able to reach out and bless somebody and help somebody. Verse 8 says, in verse 7, Isaac had said to Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, my son. Isaac said, see, here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt sacrifice? Abraham said, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. We must not suppose that this was the language merely of faith and obedience. Abraham spoke prophetically and referred to the Lamb of God. He had provided for himself, who in the fullness of time would take away the sin of the world, and of whom Isaac was the most expressive type. That's taken from Adam Clark's Bible commentary. For Abraham was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. You know, you can read that in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. You know the story that King Abimelech, I love saying those Old Testament names. Abraham said to Sarah, because he was chicken out, he was, you know, he's a chicken. And I say that respectfully. He said to Sarah, say that you're my sister. And so Sarah, being the good wife, said that she was his sister. She looked pretty good because the king wanted to bring her into his harem. And so he did. He had a dream. God said to him, how dare you take another man's wife into your castle, into your place? If you don't release her, you're dead. That's pretty blunt. That's my vernacular. Do you know what God was saying? She was a covenant person. She belonged to someone else. Praise God. God said to that man, that king, he said, Abraham is a prophet, in verse 7 of that chapter. Jesus said, Abraham hoped for the day of my incarnation. He hoped for my day. He did see it and was delighted. John 8:56. And so we see here that God desires that his plan would be fulfilled. In the life of Abraham and Isaac, we see that God's plan was revealed. Verse 9, it says, when they came to the place of which the Lord told him, there were some things that happened. Abraham built an altar there. Then he laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and he laid him on the altar on the wood. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. Verse 11 says this, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand upon the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear and revere God, since you have not held back from me or begrudged giving me your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and he glanced around, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering and an ascending sacrifice instead of his son. Verse 14, so Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it will be provided. You know what? The view is always better from the top of the mountain. My brother used to be frustrated when we'd be out in BC traveling somewhere, and the next place that we were going to minister was just the other side of a mountain. But it took a long time to get there as you drove around. But up on the mountain, up from God's point of view, things look different. If we can see things as God sees them, if we can speak blessing over people, if we can say the things that God wants us to say, that great blessing can come into their lives. Praise God. In verse 17, it says, "In blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you, your descendants, like the stars of the heavens and like the sand of the seashore. And your seed or heir will possess the gate of his enemies." Verse 18 says, "Now in your seed Christ shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, and by him bless themselves, because you have heard and obeyed my voice." The multiplication of offspring was an important part of God's covenant with Isaac and Jacob. So we see God's plan to impart redemption benefits of the covenant through our children. The promise of our children is common to all the covenants God made with man. Each time you look at your children, remember that they are a sign that God has not nullified his promise. The prophet Malachi, as Regina was talking about today, he taught that the sign, the covenant blessing, was being poured out upon the people of God was that the hearts of the fathers were turned to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. The Lord had ordained that as parents, we parents will perpetuate his redemptive work by imparting blessing to our children and teaching them to do the same to their children. Praise God. Thus, God has a plan, has placed a great value upon the life of children. They are his plan for tomorrow. And through them, the life of Christ can be given to the world. Blessing in the New Testament falls into two main categories having to do with redemption and imparting of divine favor. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. God wants you to have faith in him. God wants you to live in the reality of the promise that his blessing abounds unto you. But the curse prevented people from receiving the blessing, and it was broken when Jesus was crucified. When Jesus hung on the cross and died and paid the penalty for sin, the Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. My dad always used to say, man would have done it from the bottom to the top. God did it from the top to the bottom. Why? He wanted you and I to see that there was nothing in his mind any longer to separate mankind from a place of blessing in their life. That he was taking all the limitations away. He was taking all the things away that would hold back and hinder us. And he was opening wide the door to everyone. And he's saying, whosoever will may come. Come. Get all that I have for you. Praise God. You know, it's been wisely said, you can't give what you don't have. And so the onus is on us to receive, to be good receivers. Amen? To benefit from the promises of God. And let the blessings of God abound in our lives as God desires. So the second form of blessing our children was instituted by Jesus himself in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, it talks about Jesus, and we're told that he took them children up in his arms. He put his hands upon them and he blessed them. Jesus blessed them because the spoken blessing imparted a special favor from God upon the children. Jesus saw merit in speaking blessing over those he loved. You know who people really want to hear they love? That they're loved by? The people they love. A son needs to hear his father say, I love you. My son does not need to see my anger. My son needs to see my love. My son needs to know that I affirm him. My son needs to know that I love him and I appreciate him. Likewise, my daughter. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He saw merit in speaking blessing. Luke 24, verses 50 and 51 says, Jesus conducted his disciples out from Bethany and lifted up his hands and he invoked a blessing on them. And it occurred that while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. Isn't it interesting? The last act of Jesus towards his disciples was to speak a blessing over them. I bless you. The commentators write that Jesus lifted his hands up like the priesthood would do, as he pronounced the blessing. When we lift our hands up to the Lord, what do we say? We're surrendering to God. Amen? We're worshiping God fully and completely. We're holding nothing back. Charity gave us an object lesson a while ago about praising, and it talked about how your hands were in your pocket. Sometimes they'd come up a little bit. Sometimes it would be like a football, you know, uprights. And then if God really got a hold of you, you would throw them all the way up into the air. Do you know what God is looking for? True worshipers. He doesn't want somebody just to love him with a little bit. They used to have some glue you could put on your hair called Brill Cream. And they always used to say, a little dab will do. You know why they said a little dab will do? Because some guy would probably put the whole thing on and would look like a greased whatever, something. Yes, his hair would not move in the wind, but it would look ugly. I like to press mine down just because it looks better pressed down a bit. Shaken together, running over. Do you remember that day, Pastor, I was with you in Calgary, and David McGrew drove up from BC, drove all night to come and join with us for a day or two, and Jeannie, I think she'd been out in a conference somewhere out east, and she was flying back to Calgary, and then they were speaking in one of the churches in Calgary. We were going out to Lethbridge, I think. And so I had the privilege of sleeping in the same motorhome with Pastor Glenn Stead. It was a big enough motorhome. We all had three different places to sleep. We weren't in the same bed. And when I got up in the morning, my hair was a disaster that had happened sometime during the night. And David McGrew said to me, he said, John, I can't believe that Susan sleeps with you. And I said, it's okay. Because first thing in the morning, if I get out quick enough and she doesn't have her glasses on yet, it doesn't look half as bad. And so I quickly get to the washroom. I quickly take care of business, get all freshened up, take care of my hair, lock it into place. Praise God. And then it's where I want it to be. Praise God. That was free. I'm going to read one more passage for you. And I'm doing my best here to follow this script. 1 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter carried the principle of blessing over into his teaching. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 in the Amplified, it says, finally, all of you should be of one and the same spirit, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren, of one household, compassionate and courteous, tenderhearted and humble. Verse 9 says, never return evil for evil or insult for insult, scolding, tongue lashing, betraying. But on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare, happiness, and protection, and truly pitying and loving them. For know that to you have been called, that you yourselves may inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. Then if you read that whole chapter, he goes on to talk about you and me and what God wants us to be, how God wants us to live. The Bible says that we should strive to be at peace with everyone. Amen. We should strive to have a love for everyone. The scripture says, owe no man anything but to love him. Amen. You know why God said that? Because that's something supernatural that only he can do. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't do that in your own power. But through his grace and through his love, we can love even the unlovely. Amen. So Peter expounded about how God wants us to live. And today, when I was given this opportunity to say the words that I've said, you know, my greatest heart's desire for every one of you is that every blessing of God will abound to your account. That everything that God said in the scriptures about you and about desiring to bless you, that it would be reality in your life. The Apostle Paul said, now I know in part, but then I'm going to know in full measure the greatness of my God. You know what? Paul had learned a secret in his life. He was willing to let go of things, that there was nothing maybe wrong with them. But he said in Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize, to the call that lay ahead. Paul saw the significance of blessing. He saw the significance of blessing his sons. Amen. And there's nothing like it. If you want to see my clock start racing, it happens when the blessing of God is spoken to me and I realize it. Grab a hold of it. Praise God. Nothing like it. You heard the story that the little boy always walks in the steps of his dad? You know, Pastor Stead, he walks down the aisle. Mike walks down behind him. And Jake and some of the others walk down, grandchildren. It's like a train. It's like father, like son, like grandson, you know. Everyone going where they need to go. There's no greater place to be than in the center of God's perfect will, doing what God wants you to do, recognizing we're connected to something bigger than ourselves. But there's an eternal destiny. You have an eternal destiny. You're important to God. God has great things in store for Embassy Church, for Pastor Glenn and Joan, for all of you, for all of us together. You know what? Together, we're going to see the awesome hand of God reach down into our city. Hallelujah. And touch the lives of people like only He can touch. But God needs you and I to stand up like never before, standing upon His word, declaring His word, and seeing His word come to pass in our lives. Praise God. So I speak that over you today. Father, I bless your people. I bless this house. I bless the great assignment that you have called Pastor and Joan and the members of this church to accomplish in the days ahead. And Father, I just speak my blessing over them. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they are to us and will continue to be. And Father, we just thank you that we can covenant together and that we can stand upon your word and we can declare that the blessing of God abounds in our lives, in our children, and in all those people who will be able to reach out and touch for the kingdom of God and love with that same love and speak blessing over their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, the devil is defeated. Thank you that Jesus is Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to serve you together as servants of the Most High God, giving you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for everything that will be done. And we thank you for great victory in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You are blessed.
Thank you, Brother John.